Alrighty. So I asked you some questions. As that yellow thing gets passed around, we're going to go over our questions. I'm just going to read through them quick, just to remind you what they are. Do I believe God made me? Do I believe God loves me? Do I know, can I see evidence in my life? Do I know God has begun to work on me? Do I want God to work on me? Why have I come to camp? Why am I here? Why has God brought me to camp? And your two questions that only you guys have, has my name been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? And the last one, do I love Christ? Do I love Christ? There's your eight questions. Put your hands up if you answered them early on. Put your hands up if you got... You didn't have to write the answer down, but in your head you had an answer early on. You knew your answer. All right. Put your hand up if your answer has changed to any of those questions. From what you first answered to where you are now, has anyone had a change in their answer? A couple of people have gone, yeah, I've had some things change. Alrighty. Hands up if you still got to answer some questions. Cool. Alright, last one for you rebels. Hands up if you determined you're not answering any of them. That's not real good. See if you can answer some for me. If you can't answer them for you, answer them for me. It'd be good to answer them. But hey, you know what? It's better being an honest rebel than a lying rebel. Maybe there was just another lying rebel that didn't put their hand up. I ain't answering them questions. And I ain't going to tell anybody either. I want you to see something this morning. I want you to see something. If you've already seen this, I need you to pray that others would see it. Where's that yellow thing? It's over there. Make sure it gets all the way around. Turn in your Bibles with me to where I'm going to finish. I'm going to give you my last reference. How do you like that? I give you where we're going to finish. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, down in verse 21, there's four words at the... I don't even need you to do the whole verse, just the last four words. The last four words. Did you leaders have a look? Pass it around and then run it back to Will and Lynette and down this side. Make sure everybody gets to see. Make sure Rico gets to have a look at it. Everyone needs to have a look at it. All right. John chapter 12, verse 21. What are the last four words? Say it with me. We would see Jesus. Maybe you've already seen him. If you've already seen him, you need to pray that others would see him. There's one purpose that the Lord has laid on my heart for today, and that is that you would see Jesus. There's something to pray, that you would see Jesus. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. You know that I need the Lord to help me. I need Him to help me to show you Jesus. And can you see me? Can everyone see me? Can't see. Do you know why you can see me? Why can you see me? Let's do some questions. Before we pray, let's do some hands up. Why can you see me? There at the back. Why can you see me? Oh, throw it hard at you. Why can you see me? Because I'm standing right here. That's a good answer. Why can you see me? Because I'm a human being. If I was not a human being, you wouldn't be able to see me. The only thing you can see is human beings by that reasoning. No? All right. Oh, that was not for you, but good catch. Thank you. Why can you see me? Yes. Because you're looking at me. Why can you see me? Good job, Gareth. Oh, nearly. I can't get it to you. Oh, to you. Because I'm a living thing. If I'm a dead thing, you can't see dead things. Your eyes are open. Last one, Sam. Oh, no. Second last one. I'm not invisible. Last one. I'm made of flesh. If I was made of wood, you wouldn't be able to see me. No, but good answers. Is it Jonah? No. What's your name, Yannick? Jamie. You know Jamie? He had the first answer. It's probably the closest thing answer to what I was thinking. You know why you can see me? Because I'm here. If I wasn't here, you'd have a hard time seeing me. It's not just you having eyes to see that allows you to see me. It's the fact that I got in a car and traveled up here so that I could stand in front of you that you can see me. I want you to pray as we pray that we would see Jesus. And I suggest to you this morning that he's done his part. He's not far from any one of us. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, he's there poking you, prodding you, trying to get your attention, trying to speak to your heart. He's here. So then it just lands on you that you would see him. You have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to believe. So let's pray. Ask the Lord that he'd we'd see him this morning. My Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you we can come together. I thank you, Lord, we can pray. Lord, I thank you that I can pray. I can come before you and ask your help, Lord. I cannot do this without you. My Lord, we desperately need you. It is in your grace and your mercy that we stand. And I pray, Lord, you would speak to the hearts of each and every one of us here. But Lord, today, I pray that we would see Jesus. That, my Lord, we would see you. If there's one here who hasn't seen you, Lord, if he doesn't know you, if she hasn't met with you, I pray that today, Lord, you would introduce yourself to them. That, Lord, they would undeniably be able to say, God spoke to me. God introduced himself to me. I saw Jesus. I ask, Lord, you would be with us this morning. And, Lord, just like these Greeks in the Bible in John, Lord, they desired to see you. They came and they said, we would see Jesus. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here would desire to see you. In your name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. Oh, do I ask my question? Do I go to your Bible verse first? Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 9. Who said verse 9? You're all over it. We're in Philippians 1, 9. Philippians chapter 1. Just flip over to Philippians. All right, are you a bit weary? Are you a bit tired? Yeah, some of you are, some of you aren't. Philippians 1, verse 9. So the Bible says here, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. We looked at that yesterday, your love abounding in knowledge and in all judgment. We didn't get to look at that. I want to talk to you just real brief as a point of introduction about your love abounding in judgment. What is this? So I ain't going to go yelling out. What is this? Oh, Lacey. Ooh, food, she says. What sort of food? Jay Lee, it's corn. All right, so, real or fake? Real or fake? Ooh, yeah, no, we're not having fence sitters. You gotta lay it on one side or the other. Which way are you going with? Real or fake? You reckon it's real? Up back. And over here with the Mario shirt. What's your name, bud? Noah. Sophia, real or fake? Fake? No? Real? You've already done. Here we go. Real or fake? Real. All right. I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm just going to throw the ball at you. You tell me. Fake. Real? As soon as you get the ball, tell me your answer. Fake. Real. Real or fake? Fake. Oh, yeah. Thought that was going for Patty then. Real. 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 Bit of divide. Right up the back. There you go. And again. Fake. Oh! Coming in hot. Anyone got an answer they want to give and I haven't given you a chance? No, you've done. Fake. It's real. All right. Hands up if you're not guessing. Hands up if you know. Hands up if you know you are right. Like, you can tell me why you're right. You need, not I'm right because I said so. This is why it is real. This is why it is fake. All right, so those of you that got your hand up, keep your hand up if you know and you can give an answer as to why you think this is real. Why do you know it's real? You said fake. No, you gotta, so it's only if you can explain why it's real. You're a hog. Why is it real? Why do you know it's real?
Because it smells like corn.
It smells like corn. Can easily move it. Why do you know it's real? It's got features that are real?
Yeah.
Sorry? It tasted good. I didn't. Why do you know it's real?
It feels real and it smells real.
Lacey? They wiggle around. This is real corn. It doesn't look like the corn you get in the freezer, does it? Do you know why you thought it was fake? Because you were lacking some knowledge to make a right judgment. You were basing your judgment off your experience, and your experience is corn you find in the supermarket. This is just dried out. That's why it's different. It's been laying out to dry. And it keeps. See, your love needs to abound in knowledge and in all judgment. And for you to make right judgments, you need right knowledge. And for you to have right knowledge, you need to be going to the right place. And you know what? Right here, right now, it doesn't matter whether this is real or fake. But if you've got to feed it to someone, it kind of matters, doesn't it? I'd say, no, I don't know. I'm guessing Patty has a fairly high corn diet. You know, quite often babies eat a fair bit of corn. You can make it into stuff they like. I know my babies had a fairly high corn diet. Kind of important I didn't give them the plastic corn, hey. That would have mattered. Our love needs to abound more and more in knowledge. We've got to make sure we know what we're talking about. We've got to make sure that we know. You know, I can look at this. I can go, I know that's corn. I know that's corn because I've seen corn grow in the field. I've seen corn harvested. I've seen corn laid in the shed. I've seen it dried. I've been taught. I've been shown. I've had people give me the right knowledge. There was no doubt in my mind. I walked past the shed. I saw it there. I went and spoke to the groundskeeper and I said, "You got some corn in the shed. Can I have a husk?" Because my guess was not all of you would be able to go, "That's real corn." Because it's different, isn't it? Now, I'm going to give this back to Will because he liked the taste of it. And so, mate, see if by the end of this morning, you maybe half gone, all right? See how you go. I don't know what the hygiene of it's like, all right? It was on the shed floor, so I think it's COVID safe. I think it's COVID safe. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know what that word thought means? That word thought means Christ made a judgment call. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but his love abounded to make a judgment that he would make himself a little lower than the angels and put on the form of man. Put on the form of flesh. He thought he made a judgment call based on his love and his love abounding. You're going to have to make some judgment calls. You're going to need knowledge to make the right judgment call for the things you love and where your love is. Go with me back to Philippians chapter 1. That your love may abound in verse 9. In knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. That you may approve things that are excellent. Let's talk about excellence. What is excellent? Give me some excellent, give me some definition. Oh, you ready to catch? Some definitions of excellent. You are just greedy. Hey, well done. Well done, Jay Lee. You got a definition of excellent? Excellent. It's really good. Anything else in excellent? Fabulous. What's your definition of excellent? We're going to go with Penelope right now, okay? What's excellent? Something really good. I saw a hand. Superb. What do we got that's really good, boys? Gareth? Remarkable, Gareth? No. when school, yeah, something is that. Was that a hand?
Yeah.
High quality. Something is excellent. Is high quality faith, Sam? Excellent. I just saw a hand, didn't I? Really, really good. You're sort of bouncing all around the same things. I don't put your hand up if you don't have an answer.
Amazing.
Amazing. What was it?
It was something that really, really like.
Something you really, really like. Psalms 8, verse 9. First one there. Psalms 8, verse 9. Let's see if you can earn yourself a ball. Stand up when you got it. Psalms 8, verse 9. All right, you got to get it off Isaac.
Okay. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
You know what that psalm is doing? It's praising God. Oh Lord, oh Lord. You know why it's praising him? Because how excellent is his name. Excellent is something that is praiseworthy. Something worthy of praise. You ready? Close your Bibles. Let's go for the next one. See if you can earn that ball with Proverbs 8:6. Proverbs 8:6. Well done. What do we got? Right. The Bible says here that what is right is excellent. When something is right, it is excellent. When it's wrong, it's not excellent. Some things are just black and white, right and wrong. Excellent is correct, it's right. Proverbs 31:29. Proverbs 31:29. On your feet when you... Hey, well done, Becca. 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 You need the ball. Oh! Proverbs 31:29. Thou whatest them all? Excellest. You know, if you excel at something, that means you are excellent. Because you excel at it. The cooking's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think they've excelled themselves in the kitchen. They're excellent. Proverbs 31 says a virtuous woman is excellent. Virtuous goes along with excellence. Something of virtue, something of excellence. Go with me to let's race. Philippians 4:8. Oh, Sam. Oh. Philippians 4:8. There's a list. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If something is virtuous, we just found out in Proverbs 31 that it's excellent. We found out if something is praiseworthy, it's right and excellent. These things that are worthy of praise, these things that are virtuous, they're excellent. And we just learned about how the Lord would have us approve excellent things. Approve things that are excellent. We've been talking a lot about a new life in Christ. We've been talking a lot about what the Lord would have us be, about beginning a life in Christ, about what a life in Christ is. And here's what it is. It's a life that is excellent. It's good and excellent and virtuous and all those things. And you can sit back and go, you know what? I'm just here for the fun and games. I'm not here for the preaching. I don't really have time for this. I don't have a mind or a heart for this. But let me ask you something. Do you want some excellence in your life? You might think it's past you. You might think, you know what? I can't excel. Let me tell you, with God, nothing's impossible. He can take the worst of us and make us excellent in His sight. He can take the most unable of us and make us exceed in areas we did not know possible. We can have a life that excels. Perhaps you sit there and you go, you know what? I already love Christ. I'm already His. I'm just trying to figure out, well, what is it that the Lord would have me focus on? Approve that which is excellent. You team leaders, you know, what do I look? What do I give pats of approval for? What do I encourage people for? What do I encourage the younger people for? Well, approve that which is excellent. Let your love abound and approve that which is excellent. This is what our life is to be based around, right? So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Can I have that back, Sambo? True. Talk to me about truth. What is truth? I'm only going to take two. What is true? Honesty. What is true? What can't be hidden? Let me give you what the dictionary says. True is genuine. It's the real, actual state of things. Where'd the corn go? Oh, Will. He has true corn. How's it taste? Oh, we're still working on it. It's true. It's the actual real state of things. You need to have your focus on that. Approve that. The actual true state of things. You know where I apply this? I try and apply this to the movies I watch, the television shows I might consume, the books I might read, the entertainment I might give myself to. Is it true? Is it a true story? Is it factual? Is it the actual state of things, or is it fancy? Is it a fanciful tale? Is it absolutely nothing to do with truth? But how about our life? Is our life true? The things we focus on, are they true, or is it just a waste? Is it just a lie? There's nothing in it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Give me a definition of honest. If you've already done one, leave your hands down. Honest. Telling the truth. Sorry? Has anyone got a definition other than telling the truth? Sophia. What's actually happening? It's another way of saying telling the truth. Well done. You ever done an honest day's work? You know what I say? You know what I mean when I say do an honest day's work? That doesn't mean do a true day's work. That just means put your best into it. It's an honest living. It's an upright, honorable, faithful attempt. That's what honest is. And that's why we say it's telling the truth, because it's honorable, it's upright, it's faithful and reliable. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, apply that to your life. Then is my life honest? Is it honorable? Apply that to your fiction and your non-fiction, your entertainment. Okay, it may not be a true story, but is it an honorable story? Or is it dishonorable? Is it honorable entertainment or is it dishonorable? Look, I won't get into whether you should or shouldn't play video games or not, but your Grand Theft Auto, is it an honorable game or is it teach you dishonorable? It's all about stealing. Yeah? Honorable. What's honorable? You say, oh, well, hey, that's good. I got me a verse now why I can play Medal of Honor. You might be stretching the Bible a little bit there. But is your life honorable? Just. Who's got me for just? Who can help me out with the definition of just? Oh, I think you've done one. You've done one. Sophia, you have one up the back. Just. You have, but that's all right. Go again. Fair? Upright. Let me give you a definition of just from the dictionary. Righteous. Living in exact conformity to the divine will of God. Living a life that is conformed to the will of God. You might be throwing out most of your movies if you try to apply this. And that's probably a good thing. Does this book, does this entertainment, does this thing I'm thinking on, does this thing that's filling my mind, does it line up with what is just, with the divine will of God? Is it true to God? Is it true to God's will? The way I live, the way I focus, if there be any virtue, if there any praise, the Bible says, think on these things, the things that fill my mind. Is it just? Is it according to the divine will of God? All right, pure. Who's got me for pure? You stink doing it. Right up the back. And I should have thrown it harder at you. I had an opportunity. Perfect. Pure. Perfect. Nice work. Sorry? Sorry? I heard you the first time. Unblemished. Pure and perfect. Let me give you the dictionary definition. It's free from mixture. It's uncorrupt or incorrupt. It's without spot. Something that's got nothing else in it. It's free from any mixture. Perfect, clean, pure. Let me ask you something. How many things do you go, oh, there's just one thing about it that it's not real good? But the rest is okay. You know what that means? That's not pure. Oh, there's just this one point. It's all good except for this bit here, isn't it? It's not pure. If your head is all over and your mind is filled with it and it's consuming your thoughts and your head's on it and there's just this one or two things that aren't really what they ought to be, then it's not pure. And the Bible says if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on the things that are pure. Maybe it's not a true story, but is it pure? You know why I pick on stories? You ever notice that what the book you're reading, sometimes that's the things you dream about? You ever notice the movie you watch, that's what you daydream about in school the next day? You think about the things. It's your mind. It's where your head goes. It's what you fill your head with. The Bible says whatsoever things are just, whatsoever true, honest, just, pure. Here's one, lovely. Who can help me out with lovely? Who can help? Where's someone that hasn't done one? I'm just going to pick. Ugh, lovely. Ugh. Give me some lovely. Sorry? Think about food. Mum, that was lovely. Hey? Good. It's something you look at and go, that's good. Give me something that's lovely. That smells lovely. It's lovely. Oh. How about, no, I've gone. Anything? I'll come back to you, and I'm just going to throw them harder each time. Okay, we're good? Lovely. Can someone help me out who didn't have, right up the back? Have you got anything for lovely? Sorry? I can't hear you, darling. Thank you. So do you. You're a married man. Careful how you walk. What's lovely?
My wife's service.
Lovely is something that is lovable. That's why food. We all got opinions about food. That was lovely to one person and not to another person, because it's all about how it appeals to you. Let me tell you what the dictionary says. It possesses qualities that may invite affection. When something's lovely, it has a quality that invites your affection. Now, you've got to be careful with that. Do you think the Bible here is telling you that whatever invites your affection, you can think on that? Or should we be judging this by what invites God's affection? What is lovely to God? What does God look at and say, now that is something that invites my affection? My affection is after that. And we have the mind after Christ. Last one, good report. Good report. I don't think you've given me an answer yet. And good report. Who else is hiding? Oh, yeah, I owe you one. Good report. So think about school when you get a good report. What is a good report? I'll come back. A good report. Something that's good. And what's report mean? If you give a... Oh, just steal it. What? Feedback. Good thought. Well done. I like the way your brain works. Feedback. Sorry? Something that you reported that's good. So what does it mean to report? Do you report with your toes? With what you know. And do you report to yourself? But normally, where do you report to? Is it something you write about yourself? Or is it something you write to someone else? Yeah, you give it to somebody else. A report, it goes out. What's a reporter? They work for a newspaper, right? They work for a journalist is a reporter. And they report on what they see. They tell people about what they see. A good report to give a valid account of something. A valid account. How about this? You all have a reputation. Do you know what your reputation is? You could say your reputation is the things people say about you. Your report. Your reputation. A good reputation. All right, let's close this out with some Bible verses. We're going to run through these. Let's see if you can find them. Let's race. Now that we've gone through, had a bit of a look at what this thing that should focus our mind, let me just close out those two things. Do the things that you focus your brain on, are they lovely before the eyes of God? Do they have a good report? The things that consume our mind should be fit into those categories. It should be true, or it should be honest. It should be just or pure. It should be lovely. And I think, you know what, I think there's room to go, this isn't a true story, but it is pure, it is just. And I think there is grounds to go, this might be a true story, but it's not pure, so I'm not going to have any part of it. There's grounds to do that. To go and apply this with some judgment. That your love would abound in knowledge and judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you might live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Let me show you something here though. John chapter 14, verse 6. Who's got it? John 14, 6. Oh, well done. What do we read it out nice and loud so that Callum can hear? Did you hear that, Cal? No, you have to go again. So Cal can hear. Did you get the start of that at least? Yeah, you got the start. you got a thumbs up. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to see Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Here's truth. Here is the real actual state of things. You might think Jesus has nothing to do with you, but the real actual state of the world is Jesus and who he is. And his place in the world, or more to the point, your place in his world. The truth of the matter, the actual state of it. Go with me to Romans 13, not with me, go by yourselves. Romans 13, verse 12. You need to have this, because someone's got to win it off you. You've been beaten, you've got to pass it over your shoulder. Romans 13, you need to read verse 12 and 13. Yep, verse 13 as well. You're missing a bit. Let me find it for you. Romans 12, 13. Anyone got the bit that was missed? Did you read all of verse 13? All right, I was thinking that's not got the bit I'm after. Romans, you better sit down then, because someone beat you to it. Who had Rome? Who was next? Becca? Romans 13, verse 12 and 13. Did I miss a verse? I'm going to have a look myself. You're not getting the bit I need. Let me just... Did I write it down wrong? Is it... No, it's verse 14 as well. Read me out verse 14. Yeah, no, you've got to stand up, belt it out so Callum can hear, nice and loud. That's the tie in there that I was missing in my notes. Walk honestly, it says there in verse 13, and verse 14 says put on Christ. You know how you walk honestly? By putting on Christ. To have that honest walk is to put on Christ. You know why? Because that's who Christ is. The honesty of Christ, the upright, honorable faithfulness of Christ. You might look at all these things and go, hey, they are good qualities. They are virtuous qualities. They're things I'd like in me. That's who Jesus is. You put on Christ because he is honorable. That's the walk that Christ walks in. Romans 3:23. I've got the right verse this time. Somebody got Romans 3:23? Oh, snap. Send the ball back to Zaman. Romans 3:23. Let me find it as well so I can follow along, make sure I haven't mixed up any mistakes. Go, mate. 23, 2 to verse 26. All of us sin and fall short of the glory Verse 26, you got to get to.
God sent Christ to be our sacrifice. Christ offered blood and so that our faith in him could come to God. And God did this to show that in the past he was right to be patient and forgiving sinners. This also shows that God is right when he says people who have faith in Jesus.
So here the thought of this passage is this, that in verse 23, it being justified freely by his grace. Our place of justification is in Christ. To be just is in Christ. And the closing of this thought is this, in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So who is Jesus? He is just. He is the one that is righteous and living in exact conformity to the divine will of God. That's doing things just as they ought to be done. I want you to see Christ. I want you to see who he is. He is this that is, he is the focus of our thoughts and the living God that is true and honorable and honest and just. Go with me to 1 Peter 1:18. Nice work. Baxter's got Baxter, isn't it? No, you're not Baxter. You're Baxter. And you're Nathaniel. Let's go with Jim. Nathaniel's got the ball. You do. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Now jump to verse 23 for me. The blood of Christ that is without spot. The incorruptible seed. Christ. Incorruptible, pure, spotless. Not a fault on him. Not a mark against his name. There's not a one of you in here can say, I have a spotless record. You can look back and you can go, my record, it looks like a Dalmatian. It's just spotted all over. I'm not pure. I'm not clean. I'm covered in spots. But Christ was spotless, pure, without fault. And you know, it's that blood, it's that spotless blood, it's because of his sinlessness, it's because of his perfection, that he can pay for the sin that you can't pay for. I want you to catch this. Those of you that know the gospel, listen up still. And those that you don't, catch this. If you die spotted, if you die in your sins, the Bible says you'll be cast into hell for all eternity, because of a sin debt you can't pay. That's how bad your sin is. You know how we judge how bad someone's crime is by the amount of trouble they get in, right? You hear someone getting a reaming from the teacher and you think, man, they must have done something bad because they're really in strife. You judge how bad they are, their behavior is by how much trouble they're in. For all eternity, I would be punished for my sins. Yet Christ paid for them in 3 days. 3 days' work, and Christ paid for something that I couldn't pay for in all of eternity. But not mine alone. He paid for the sins of everybody in this room. That for all eternity we would have to pay for. And his pureness, his spotlessness paid that debt. His work paid that debt. In 3 days, that all of you and I would not be able to pay in all eternity. But not just us in this room, everybody across this globe. But not just everybody across this globe, everybody throughout history. I can't do that math. I cannot do that math. that our sins we would not be able to pay for with the punishment and the wrath of God poured out on us for all eternity would not pay for our sins. Yet the wrath of God poured out on Christ for the time he was spent on the cross of Calvary and then the finishing of the work that he did. And it really wasn't even 3 days to finish the punishment because the punishment was done on Calvary and he said, "It is finished." And so the wrath of God was poured out just in a space of hours. And your debt was paid and my debt was paid and everyone throughout history was paid through the blood of Christ. Let me give you some, just give you a little gem here that is the biggest blessing to me. Hebrews 9. We need to be done, don't we? Hebrews 9. Now I'm going to give you this one. You're not competing for this one. You can't. I just want to give you this one for free. Hebrews 9, verse 14. You ever felt like, "I can't do anything for God, I'm too filthy. I can't do anything for God. Look at what I did yesterday. I might be saved, but look at what I did yesterday. I can't do anything from God." Let me give you something for that guilty conscience. Hebrews 9, verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Do you know how you are able to serve God? It's not because you didn't sin yesterday. It's because of the blood of Christ. Let me tell you something. I am not up here fit to preach the gospel because of the sort of life I've lived for the last 20 years. The sort of life I've lived for the last 20 years condemns me from being rightful to preach the gospel. The only place I can stand here is because the blood of Christ allows me to be fit to serve the living God. Not just go to heaven for eternity. Not just to be forgiven, but to serve. The blood of Christ. All right, let's keep moving along. Lovely. How about we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. See if you can get that ball off Jim over here. Oh, Becca's got it back. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. So, Nugget, I forgot your name. What's your name? Sorry?
Jordan.
Jordan. Jordan, you were talking to me about lovely. We got talking about food. Tell me something. Tell me a food that you go, "That's lovely." Rice. You like rice. Rice is something you go, "Now that's nice. That's nice rice. That rice is so nice. It's nice rice." I'm assuming you're talking about rice pudding. That's the sort of rice I love. Sweet, custardy rice pudding. That to me is lovely. I look at that and I go, "That's pleasing to me. It pleases me to eat it." You know what the Lord said when, you know what God the Father said when he saw his son down there in the Jordan River? He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." There is someone there that has the qualities that encourage my affection towards them. Christ is the only one, that was loved by something other than grace. See, God loves me not because he looks down and goes, "Look at that quality man there. That is a lovely man." That's not what God does. God looks down there and goes, "What a sorry man that fella is. I'm going to show him some grace and love him anyway. Not because he's lovely, because I'm going to be graceful." But Christ, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." I like him. Last passage, we're not going to read it. Not all of it. I'm going to race you for this one. You ready? On your marks. Get set. You there yet?
Yeah.
Go. Oh, Isaiah 52. Why aren't you there? Here we go, I got it. Isaiah 52, verse 13. I got it, I beat you. Sit down. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Let me give you this and we'll be done. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had been told of them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten of God, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. That's a good report in that passage. Read the rest of the chapter. Who's the good report about? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Emma? That's Jesus. You want to see Jesus? You want to see Jesus? You need to read Isaiah 53. There's a good report. There is no arguing. If you want to argue the point, it's because you're a fool. And I'll call you that to your face. That these things of truthfulness, honesty, just, pure, lovely, good report, they are virtues of a life that will be rewarding and fulfilling and everything a life ought to be. And that is who Christ is. If you say, I don't want any one of these things, then you're a fool. But if you go, hey, there are things that I aspire to. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of virtue. I like the sound of honest and honorable. I like the sound of just. And I like the sound of truth. Then what you actually like the sound of is Jesus. He's someone that you need to see. I'm trying to describe you to him. Trying to give you a description of who Jesus is. These Greeks came to the disciples and they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. What do you want out of your life? Do you want lies? Do you want dishonor? Do you want injustice? Do you want filth? Do you want horridness? Do you want a bad report? That doesn't sound like a good life to me. But just, true, honest, pure, lovely, a good report? That sounds like Jesus to me. These are your verses. Better is the poor walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better to be poor and have integrity than rich and foolish. You may not agree with that. That's what you're deciding between. I'm trying to introduce you to the man that lived that. The man Christ Jesus. I'm trying you to see him for who he is. Let's close with a word of prayer. We'll go have something to eat. Get out of this hot hall. It's starting to warm up, isn't it? You should stand up here for a while. It's getting hot. You're a disagreeable sort of a fella sometimes, you know that? Don't get in the way of my stories with honesty, okay? That's not good. But as you go this morning, I want you to think about Christ. Think about whether he's someone you want to know. And if he is, then why don't you ask, Lord, I'd see Jesus. I want to know him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray you'd help these guys. Help them make good judgments, Lord. Help them see they need some knowledge. They need more knowledge. They can't even pick corn, half of them, Lord. Help them have knowledge to pick you. Help them have knowledge to see what is right and good in life. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Let them see Jesus. Let them see who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.